of the world community of the West in North America. Allahu Akbar. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian evolver of all the world. Dear beloved people, Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, and there is nothing like unto Him. And I bear witness openly that Muhammad is his slave servant and his messenger. It is indeed great pleasure and honor for me to again appear before you in New York and get this wonderful reception from strong believers in the religion of truth. Dear beloved people, Muslim brothers and sisters, I would like to speak to you on the nature of the human being and the needs, human needs. That is the basic needs, the basic human needs. I have been told that the world community of Islam in the West is a changing community, that it has made drastic changes and have become a totally new community. Well, I say to that, all praise is due to Allah. We were told that the world would be made new. And if life doesn't change, it dies. So I think these are wonderful, encouraging words that we are hearing when we hear people tell us that we have made drastic changes and we have taken on a new life and a new look. All praise is due to Allah. Sometimes I wonder if opening our doors really helped the outside world to see in on us. When I hear what is being said on the outside, I sometimes feel that the world knows still little about what is actually going on within the walls of our community called the World Community of Islam in the West. I feel that they know little about what's going on because I hear negative things said about us, negative things said about the strength of the community, about the spirit of the community. I know there's nothing negative happening in my life. I'm not feeling a need for any old crutch that I might have walked with years ago. I don't feel a need for something that I left in the back of the road. And I meet many, many, many Muslim brothers and sisters who seem to express and indicate that same confidence that I have, that I'm on solid ground, more solid than any ground I walked upon in the past, and I see the future brighter than it ever was before, and I haven't become so unbalanced or so crazy that I don't want good food, good clothing, a good home, equal education, and equal opportunities in society for myself and my people. I haven't become so mysterious that I have lost sight on the needs, the human needs. I have become more aware of the need to live a full life and to get the benefit of all the good things, or from all the good things that God has made possible with his wonderful creation. So I don't know where these people are coming from with all of this sad news about the world community of Islam in the West. I don't see any sad news. I see more people praying to Allah, showing greater sincerity, showing more pureness of heart, more strength of mind in Chicago and everywhere I go than I ever saw before. So we don't see them out there with the Muhammad Speaks anymore. It used to be wonderful. You could hardly pass by any busy intersection without seeing those sharp-dressed men with their clean shirts and their bow ties on and their clean heads. Oh, they were so great. They were so wonderful, so dignified, so clean. Well, you don't know the whole story, mister, so why don't you shut up? I haven't told anybody to take off clean clothes and put on dirty clothes. I haven't told anybody to put themselves down. I've told you to pick yourselves up. So if there's anybody walking around looking dirty and don't have any sense of dignity, they're not getting it from me. So all praises to Allah. You don't see me wearing bow ties. There's something more important to me than a bow tie. I don't even have a tie on today. There's something more important to me than a tie. And I have something new here that you haven't seen. A beard. Well, let me tell you, if this beard makes me smelly, if it becomes a filth on my face, I'll cut it off right away. I'm not wearing filth. This hair is clean, man. I wash it every day, sometimes two and three and four and five times a day. And I put nice Vaseline on, and sometimes that other stuff, I forget what they call that blue grease, that brilliantine or something. I rub that stuff in there, comb it and make it nice. Another day, my wife, she put her face up against it. She said, "Ooh, it feels soft." I say, "Well, I'll take good care of it, Shirley." This beard Spirit is not making me filthy, is not making me lazy. If a beard make you like that, you were like that before you wore the beard. You know why I wear this beard? It's not because there's any spiritual power in it. It's nothing but hair. But I wear it because it makes you accept change. You who identify with the World Community of Islam in the West and say you follow the Chief Imam, when you see me wearing this beard, you are forced to think of change.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Some of our people became so dependent on empty language, empty ideas, empty concepts, symbolism, that if I don't wear this beard, if I come out here with a clean haircut, close haircut, no hair on my face, a black bow tie, I just can't reach people that have to be reached in that look. We were so far away from the good, healthy use of our good senses that if I take that image and come before you like that, you know what some of you will hear? I don't care what I be speaking. Every time I speak, you will hear Yaqub's history. I can stand up here and talk in that image for 4 hours. And when I leave, that poor brother who's still standing in the physicalized concepts of religion will be still there. And we can't stay there. We have to get our roots in the human life. A man can't live with his roots in material life. Your roots have to be in human life. What do I mean by that? In the development of the human being, the natural development of the human being, we become sensitive creatures, sensitive, emotional creatures, before we become hard, rational people. A baby doesn't come here a cold calculator. A baby come here with a beautiful human nature, responding to kindness, having a sensitive nature, crying and showing happiness. This is the beginning of human life. The beginning of human life is in a sentimental makeup. Human being must be a creature of sentiment, a creature of feeling. So we have to get our roots back where they belong. We have to become sensitive human beings. Human beings responding to human needs, to human suffering, etc. Well, someone may criticize me here and say, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he preached love, and the people were sensitive. Certainly he did. He preached love. He preached love. He preached that we should feel for each other, that we should love each other. But during the early 60s, and it continued through the 60s and even the first 3 or 4 years of the 70s until I assumed the position of leadership, there was another development going on that eventually became so powerful as an influence that it killed that original sensitive, compassionate spirit that existed in our community. The members became insensitive to each other's needs. began to be cold toward each other. Why did that happen? It happened because we left first things. And first things, as they came from the honorable Elijah Muhammad, was that we should believe in Almighty God. And that we should be righteous people. I don't care what his concept of God was. He said that we should be servants, obedient followers, believers in God. And that we should put nothing before our God. That's what he said. Certainly he said God was manifest in the person of Master Farhad Muhammad. A God manifest in a man, flesh and blood. The Christians say the same thing. They say God manifests in Jesus, the flesh and blood. Only the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't say that Master Farhad Muhammad was born in any unnatural way. He said that he had a mother and a father. But in spite of the fact that Master Farhad had a mother and father, he was still treated, regarded as a God in the flesh. But this concept didn't make Muslims who really believe weak in their reverence or in their faith in God. They still revered God strongly. And they had strong faith in Allah, that Allah would help them, that Allah would guide them, that Allah would defend them. Though they conceived Allah as a flesh and blood man, Master Farhad Muhammad. But when this new development became strong and the emphasis were almost all the time on get the money, the man, you see him walking around with his diamond stick pin on his lapel. I saw one, he had a diamond on his lapel, diamond on his fingers, diamond in his fez, in his cap. But his children had no money in the bank for their education. You want the good old days? You don't want me as your leader. You go on and get the good old days. I don't want the good old days. I want the good new days. And if you listen, and don't let yourself become drunk in your senses, you will understand that I'm not telling you to throw away any good thing you got from the past. If Islam under the honorable Elijah Muhammad makes you industrious, I emphasize as much as he did, you should remain industrious. And if you listen to the teachings of Al-Islam as you're receiving those teachings, you will know that for the first time, you're being given a real sense of security. Whereas before, it was a lot of language, but little understanding. Today, the understanding is increasing. Where do you think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad got his idea to push business? Do you think he got it from the Baptist Church of his father? He got it from the Holy Quran. Yes, sir. In the Holy Quran, the Almighty God says, seek with whatever means have been given to you the home in the hereafter. It's called Darul Akhirah, which Darul Akhirah, which means the final home. Which is that home promised us by God in a new creation after this. It says, but don't forget your share in this material world. You have a share in this material world. You have a need to develop yourself morally, mentally, and spiritually. But you also have a need to get some of this good world in order to improve upon your living condition. Islam does not allow a Muslim to pray, spend his whole life in prayer, and neglect his home life. He must develop his home life. He must improve upon the condition of his family. He must seek each year to provide better for his children, better education, better clothing, better transportation, better job, greater opportunities in the whole world. Not just the spiritual world, the material world, and the whole world. A Muslim is one who lives a complete life. He doesn't cut his life in half. He doesn't cut off his left leg and walk with one leg. He doesn't take out one eye. No, he lives a whole life. We have to be in the world and live a complete life. This is the religion of Islam. Study the history of Prophet Muhammad. Do you think Prophet Muhammad led people to pray and they didn't do anything about their physical condition? They prayed and they improved upon the physical condition of their society. Improved upon it so much so that in a short period, about 20 years, the continent, the peninsula part of Arabia, took on a complete new face. Poor people who were denied and had no opportunity, no chance to better their lives, came into knowledge, understanding, and material progress. This is history. That people who were backwards in the Dark Ages rose upon receiving the message of the Quran from Prophet Muhammad to become the torchbearers of light, not only the light, the spiritual light, but also scientific light. They brought about a renaissance, brought about a rebirth, a reawakening of the sciences, that came from so-called Africa to the Greeks, and from the so-called Greeks to the rest of the then known world. It was the religion of Islam, the message of the Quran, that gave a rebirth. The love for knowledge, the love for science, the love for community development, the love for governmental strength, peace, and prosperity. It was the religion of Islam that did that. Now, you think I'm calling you to something that takes you away from earning a decent living, from trying to improve upon your physical condition? You listen to these lying hypocrites and you'll never see me. So, well, Chief, what happened to the fish program? We threw it back in the water like it's where it's supposed to have been. What happened to the FOI? We left it back there where it's supposed to stay. Is that all you want? A military cap on your head? Walking around showing off? That's what has gotten us down. That's what has held us back. This old artificial appearance of well-to-do and strength. You know what your strength was. Certainly. That was a military corps of men who could break your jaw, snap your neck, snatch your leg out of socket? But how much sense could they snatch out of books and snatch out of the Bible and the Quran and put into your life? They were good at putting 300 papers into a poor man who was only making $100 a week. Put 300 papers in the hands of a poor man who was only making $100 a week and tell him, brother, give us $40 in advance and you take that 60 and see can you make it. They were good at doing that. Oh, yes, well, that was wonderful. Well, I guess it was wonderful. That was necessary under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There was great sacrifices put on the people, but they made a great show that did give us a sense of dignity, did give us a sense of superiority in our communities. It was necessary at that point. But if I see that I'm doing something that's giving me dignity, but advancing death in my body, should I continue to do that and just die? Or should I turn that thing around so my dignity will be real and so my life will be preserved? I don't believe most of you charge me with these things. But just for the sake of those who charge me with these things, I'm trying to clear it up. I don't want any poor brother and sister to be lost, to be misguided, to lose the great opportunity that we have today, to really be what we thought we were yesterday. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to follow me down a natural divine course. I'm not asking you to leave off anything that you need. I'm not asking you to sacrifice and take off your dignity and become inferior to anybody. I am telling you by nature, you are equal to everybody. Whether you've been educated or not, whether you know Yaqub history or not, whether you are black or brown or in between or lighter, I'm telling you that you are equal to anybody on this earth by nature. And all you need is an opportunity to develop your nature. Your nature is wonderful, beautiful, it's super. Certainly it is. Allah says in His Quran that I have created, He says, this is His word, I have created the human being and have dignified all the sons of Adam. Don't care what color you are, black, brown, yellow, red. God says in His Quran that every son of Adam is dignified. Not just the sons of Israel, all the sons of God. He has created them and have made their being dignified. And again, Almighty God says in His Quran that He has created us in the most excellent mold, in the most excellent design. So I have nothing to fear. Certainly I could come out here and tell you the same thing you heard already. I could say, brother, don't you know you are the God? Don't you know you are the original man? Don't you know this earth and this all in it belongs to you, brother? But wait until Master Farad comes with the mother plane to get it. I could tell you that if I wanted to. But I'm not going to tell you that because it's not in my nature to lead you down a road that has a dead end or a cliff. I'm going to lead you down a road that you can follow for the rest of your life. Your children's children can follow it eternally.
You know? Allahu Akbar. You know, I was driving down Stony Island Street, going north to the National House. And I saw a drunk. And it seems that his partner had not yet got drunk. He was sober. His partner had the bottle in the bag. And this old drunk was trying to get that bottle from his partner. His partner was a big old guy, looked like he was about 7 feet, weighed maybe 300 pounds. The man with the bottle. The other fellow who was trying to get the bottle, he was about my height, looked like he might have weighed 140 pounds. And he knew he couldn't take that bottle away from that big man. So he was trying every way he could to get that bottle. He asked for it, he didn't get it, he reached that, he didn't get it. Then he told the guy, look over there. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I imagine he was telling him, look that way. He got his attention off what he was doing, and he got his mind off of what he was doing. Then he reached at the bottle again. And the fellow was still, had his mind, he was still conscious enough of the fact that this man wanted that bottle very desperately to not to let it go. So when he reached for it, the man held it, pushed him off. And he had to hold him up. He was about to fall. He had to hold him up. I said, good God Almighty, isn't this a picture of my job? Trying to get my drunken brother on the road to real progress. And he's trying to trick me to get the whiskey again so he can get drunk more. Don't want to sober up. I'm going to be your big brother whether you like it or not. I'm not going to give you any whiskey. Oh, what is this new thing? White people can now become registered Muslims. If you had your eyes open when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was leading us, you would have realized then that white people could become registered Muslims. Oh, but they couldn't belong to the temple. That's right, because he was ashamed of you. He thought that you might embarrass him before civilized people of the world. And then again, he didn't trust your mentality. He said, these dumb people, if you put a Caucasian among us, they'll forget about me and fight a Caucasian simply because he's Caucasian. See, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew you better than you knew yourself. Now, I don't feel that I have to give you any excuses or justify what I'm doing. That's why sometimes I hurt your feelings. I tell you, you were a fish. Now, all of Elijah Muhammad and his ministers were the fishermen, and you were fish. And I don't care what you think about it. It's the simple truth. Let's thank Allah. Thank Allah. You who have survived till today, let us thank Allah that the blackness of yesterday didn't make us crazy black. Let us thank Allah that the physicalness or the material-mindedness of yesterday didn't kill our hearts, didn't make us inhuman. And we still have the sense to want to get the good things of yesterday, but also the vision and the innocence of heart to not turn away from the good things of today. We should thank Allah and feel sorry for our poor, pitiful brothers and sisters who miss the superior position over us. You ain't never had it over nobody else. Miss their superior position over us. Walk up, brother. Get in line. Sit down. Who told you to get up? Where you going, sister? Get back here. You ain't going out of here until we get every penny you got in your purse. Yeah, I'm gonna tell on you. I think I'm on TV. All right. Go up. If these people don't know what justified this position I took, they can't respect and do justice to the position I have taken. Lock the door, brother. Ain't nobody going out here until we get $5,000. Now, I know a lot of those brothers that did that, they had good hearts. They were trying to build a nation. But thank Allah that He guided me, that He blessed you, that He blessed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Claire Muhammad, that He blessed the Muhammad family, and He blessed all of us Muhammads. He blessed you with me. All praises to Allah. Allahu Akbar. About 2.5 years now more that I've been your representative, for Islam, for truth, for the world community of Islam, for about 2.5 years now more. And you've heard enough of me to not to listen to negative, evil things said about me. You should know me well enough. Do you think I want money? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and you had plenty of money. And I walked away from him and your money. Why did I do it? I did it because I had to establish my position. But I'm not going to give in to no weaknesses. I'm not going to sympathize with lies and corruption. And even if I have to leave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I'm going to leave him to let you know and let the world know that I don't compromise with lies and foolishness. And let me tell you something. When I left, my father told me, he said, son, you're going to have it hard. So you know, we can't give you anything. You can't associate with us. You knew the law. I hated that, but I had to accept it. And sure enough, he sure predicted that. I had it hard. I read one ad columns until my eyes turned red like I'd been drinking wine, trying to find a job. I said, good God Almighty, have my father got some connections with the employment department? I can't get me a job. I finally gave up. I can't get no job. I have to go out and make a job. I got me a bucket and a squeegee, a sponge, and a brush, a scrub brush. And I went knocking on doors. I say, can I wash your window? Can I wash your walls? Can I wash your carpet? Lady said, what you gonna wash it with? I don't see you with no machine. I said, with this brush, lady. I say, this is how it was done before they made the machine. I said, lady. I said, lady, if you know how to use this brush, you get the best job. I say it's scientific. I say if you pick up too much water, you're gonna mess the flow up. The dirt will soak up back up into the surface. I say, but if you get the suds just right, and don't dip in the water, dip in the suds. I say, well, lady, you can get the finest job you ever. I say, and it be done by hand. This is personalized, sir. Praise due to Allah, that woman said, okay. And look here, it took me so long to clean that woman's carpet. But I finally got them done, and that woman said, can you clean my furniture? I said, yes. I end up making $70 on that woman. It took me one day and a half. I said, oh, praise due to Allah. I end up getting a job at a hotel, washing all their windows. I wasn't experienced. The man said, look here, you taking chances, are you? Do you have insurance? I said, no, sir. I said, but I'm all right. I'm out there sitting on the outside, standing out on the outside of a window ledge, 12 stories above the ground. But all praise due to Allah, I made $45 from that job. Just $45. Small hotel, didn't make that much. And me with no equipment, you know the man wasn't going to pay me much. He asked me to do those windows, 10 cents a window. I argued with him until I got 25 cents a window. I had it hard, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad predicted I would. But finally, I got a welding job. I went to welding school. What they call assistant, public assistant. I went down to see them about a job. They say, no job. I told them what my qualifications were. They said, well, all your background is in religion, and it wasn't. I said, well, I need a job. I said, I can do factory work. There ain't no factory work. Saying, you need more than that with these dependents you got. I said, I can make it. Okay, the man said, well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll try to get you in the welding school. They got me in the welding school. I took an 8-week welding course. Came out of there one of the top 3 graduates. I had a reason to work, man. What you talking about? I was going to be a. I'm telling you, if I had to take that welding torch, and I was going to be a graduate out of that class. So the man said after he graduated, he said, "Well, we're going to try to get you off some jobs." They told us that we make $4, $4.50, $5. Finally said, well, the only thing we can find is a job making $2.50 an hour. Say, will you accept that? I said, yes, sir. They had no other alternative. Got a wife at home. I come to the door and knock on the door. She got her fist balled up. If I don't say nothing good, I'm in hell. Double hell. I was already in the hell. Until I go back on the street. And I thank Allah for a wife like that. That's right, brothers. Thank Allah that you got a wife that won't let you be lazy and just stay around doing nothing. A wife like that helped save your life, man. Okay, so I went out Got that old piece of junk? Luckily, there was a German instructor, a foreman, pardon me, who instructed me in the principles of welding, in metals, etc. And that man was really sharp. He made me a good welder. I stayed on that job about 3 years, got all experience, left that job and got a job at Bethlehem Steel with insurance, paid vacation, all kind of employee benefits. Worked on that job, and it was way out. Sometimes it took me almost 4 hours in the bad weather to get there and back. It was cutting my salary because it took me too long to drive there and back. But all praise to Allah, I got a job at International Harvester, just 20 minutes drive away. Started making that big money. Big money to me, especially then.